Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Hey everybody, welcome to a special edition of The Instance. We're talking about Overwatch today, and that's been a big subject on the show for quite a while. We love the beta, we're excited about everything surrounding this game, and we have a great opportunity today to sit down with senior game designer and all-around guy who's dealing with lore and story and characters, everything you want to know about this game and more. It's Michael Chu on the line. Hello, Michael.
Hi there.
It's good to have you on. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
To say I'm excited about Overwatch is an understatement, to say the least. I know that most of our fan base who listen to our shows are pretty excited about it as well. And hardly a day goes by where we're not spending time in the beta and messing around with things. And the first thing I wanted to ask you, we are as close to launch as things have ever been. And I'm very curious about what aspects of the game you're most excited for players to get their hands on. We hear a lot about what's coming and how it's going to work, and a lot of us are seeing it in the beta releases, but what is it you think players are going to love the most when they get the game in the next month or so?
Well, I think that, the thing that I'm most excited about is just finally having this game in the hands of everyone who's been waiting to play it. I think that the thing that people will probably get the most enjoyment out of the gate is probably just experimenting with all the heroes, I still remember the first time I jumped into the game. There were only a few heroes in development, and it was, I played one for a little while, switched to the next one. It was really interesting learning about all of them. And now I just imagine, you're starting up Overwatch the first time. Maybe you start with Soldier 76 or something, and then you graduate to a character that's caught your eye or you've been interested in. Sure. And then, you could probably spend a few hours doing that and still have a whole bunch of characters still to check out. And I think that sort of experimentation process, finding out what character you're excited about, what speaks to you and your gameplay style is probably the part that'll be the most interesting.
Yeah, that's why I've come away with that feeling of, that I'm going to find something that fits me really well, and then I'm going to be able to expand to characters that maybe even intimidate me a little bit at first, but end up sort of being my speed as well. That does seem to be one of the hallmarks of the game. Having spoken a bit to Chris Metzen and also to Aaron a few times, I've never seen grown men more excited about a project before. I sense it in your voice as well. There seems to be an incredible amount of not only passion, but attention to detail in the game. And I mean things like the art in the game, the animation, the character design, even in the earliest beta footage, which is quite different than what we see now. But even then, there was so much attention to those kinds of details. How important are those aspects to the overall package?
I think it's tremendously important. I think you've sort of hit on it. There is a really great deal of excitement on the development team as we're, exploring this new game. I think the newness is part of it. It's the first time we've done a new IP in, I don't know what year we're at now, but, something like 17 or 18 years. And it's that feeling of exploring something new, all these new heroes, new locations, and bringing this world to life. And I think we have actually been really interested in the details. A lot of times when we're looking at levels or the artwork that goes into the game, we really go down to the really fine details, going over all the signs and what the text is in there, or even small details about a character, like what does Roadhog's license plate on his belt say. So we really discuss all these things. We really geek out on getting all these details right. I think it helps to give this feeling that it is a living, breathing world, and a world that has a lot of history with it, even though it's a history that people who are just coming to the game won't be familiar with, because it's obviously something new. So we wanted to, out the gate, have the world feel like it had this lived-in, well-fleshed-out quality.
Well, Blizzard has a history of putting in fun Easter eggs and interesting little mentions and notes, and if you click on a character in StarCraft or Warcraft, click on them enough times, you're going to get something kind of funny out of that character. Interesting things happen between different lore characters in Heroes of the Storm, for example, and already Overwatch is packed with these things. And it brings me to another point that I wanted to make about how you guys have somehow created a whole world and backstory around Overwatch, and you haven't made a traditional single-player campaign. We've got some cool animated videos. We have that great intro that was shown at BlizzCon when the game was announced. But other than that, it's not like we've got a bunch of novels or comic books or movies to refer to when it comes to these characters. Yet when we approach the game, it, even with just a little bit of play, you walk away having a pretty good idea of who's who, why they are who they are. You're very interested in the relationships that are being established. And we gain some of this information lately with the introduction of more chatter between characters. I've noticed a lot of that in subsequent patches. I noticed that after the Alive short, there was suddenly more conversation about certain things happening. And I wonder if this is a, was this the intentional method of storytelling from the very beginning? Did you guys want to be able to say, here's our world, we're building this world and we're building these characters, but we don't have to spell out every single thing for you. You're going to intuit a lot of this. I'm very curious about that process.
Yeah, so this is actually a really interesting subject for me. And I think you brought up a few things I'd like to talk about. But one thing I think that'd be a really good place to start is just talking about what you just said in how we approach creating the universe. Mm. Early on, when Chris and I were talking about, you know, how do we bring the Overwatch universe to life? Like, how do we want to get some of the story across? One of the things that we decided to do, which was a little different for how we had approached things in the past, is that we didn't want to just overload everyone with story. We wanted to slowly kind of hint at what's going on. And we thought that maybe this would make it so that the players and people who are interested in the Overwatch universe could get more involved in sort of the story and the universe. So what we like to do is, you know, we put in hints, we put in suggestions of things like, and we ask a lot of questions. That's one of the pillars, actually. You know, we have certain IP pillars for Overwatch, and one of them is ask questions and don't give, you know, solid answers for everything. Mm. So, you know, you get a character like Reaper, and we intentionally made his background, you know, very mysterious. We had some ideas where we wanted to go with the character, but we didn't want to give all of that, you know, straight off the bat. And what I think is really interesting about that is that as creators, it's given us a lot of room to play. It's something where we have these general ideas of where we want to take characters, but along the way, we can diverge from what we were originally planning to do. It's very organic, and I think we can also see what interests people, and sometimes, honestly, just the questions that people ask, or, you know, people on the team, people on the forums, people online, kind of spur our imagination to go down different paths, and then we end up somewhere we weren't expecting, and because we didn't front load all this information, we sort of have the flexibility to explore.
There's been a real sense of gratitude on my part and people I play with to be in this beta and be part of this testing phase, because there's a few things I've noticed along those lines. For example, in a recent patch in Hanamura, for example, there was no arrow in a certain place, and now there's some arrows in places, and it's got all of us going crazy at night trying to figure out, well, what do we think that means? It's got to be some Hanzo Genji thing. We don't know, but those have got to be, you know, Hanzo arrows, and we want to know what the conflict is and how do those brothers interact. And I know we're going to get a bunch more of that, but I'm not used to a game that is pretty much on the face of it, a competitive multiplayer game where you're supposed to get in and let's go, is telling me all this story in the meantime without it actually having to tell me the story. And it's very, very unusual. So for what it's worth, that's that thing you're doing, which, again, I don't feel like we've seen in even other Blizzard games, is working.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that. And, you know, Hanzo and Genji is particularly a story that I find really interesting. I know Chris and the team are really excited to tell more of. I think that when I first jumped onto the Overwatch team, it was one of the first things that we discussed. So it sort of has a close place in my heart. But we'll definitely get into that more. And that example of, you know, artwork appearing in the patch and sort of those conversations that are jumping out, I think that's an example of where, as we've gone on with development, as we've gotten to know these characters better, we're able to surface more aspects of the story in the game world, in the dialogue.
Did you feel that sense of accomplishing that goal when, for example, BlizzCon last year, I remember being in that audience, we've never even been introduced to Genji before. This is our first look at him. There he is. We kind of intuit all the ninja stuff about him. And there's this moment at the end where the brotherhood is shown. We're shown that they're brothers. And when he says, you know, he calls him brother, the place lost their minds. And in my head, I went, well, they don't even know who Genji, they don't know a thing about Genji, let alone very much about Hanzo. How is it that we are all so in on this? Like, we felt that weird bond, that connection, that conflict as palpable as anything. Yet We went into that presentation with nothing, and that blew my mind. That must have been satisfying to hear the crowd go nuts.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I have to say, even for myself, when the first time I saw a version of that video where with the VO in it and that whole moment set up, like, I got chills. I honestly just had chills with you talking about it again.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's totally a great example. It reminded me of another thing that happened during the Overwatch. I guess it was during opening ceremonies, but we were showing off some of the origin skins for the game.
Mm.
And they do the little spin where you're like, oh, it's Soldier 76. And oh, it's Strike Commander Jack Morrison. And they did the one for Reaper when they switched to Gabriel Reyes. And I remember that the crowd had this big reaction to it. And honestly, like, the Reaper identity question was something that had been interested to people who, you know, early on were jumping into the lore about Overwatch. And I felt like the reaction to that was much bigger than I expected, because I figured people would be like, oh, I don't really understand why that skin goes with that character, but okay, maybe, you know, he looks cool. But it's definitely, you know, that's the approach that we've been taking from the beginning. And another thing you reminded me of is just the pregame dialogue that we put in at this point. I guess it was 2 or 3 patches ago,
yeah,
where the different characters will start to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that stuff we had for a long time, and we just hadn't gotten around to getting it into the game. It was something that I was really excited about, because I felt like it could, again, start to hint at what these relationships between the characters are and start to, you know, ask more questions. I guess I'm terrible in that, you know, we're just doing all these teasing and asking all this question and possibly not providing answers as quickly as people want.
Well, part of it feels like, I wouldn't call it a tease, it's not the right word, but I love it. Like, it feels like I need to use my own head to start exploring and build stuff out in my imagination. So when Reaper's talking to McCree and there's some indication of what their relationship is, we all about lost our minds, about lost the match, in fact, because we just couldn't stop talking about it. And, you know, the same thing happened the other night. I'm in the game after the most recent patch, and I'm on Dorado, hadn't been on there for a while, and I noticed there are gold bars leading out of the vault, and they weren't there before. And I noticed these kind of weird details, and I saw those and I thought, oh, Junkrat and Roadhog have something to do with this. I don't even know if that's true, but that's where all our brains are going. Our brains are constantly wrapping around this stuff. It's amazing. And it's funny, in this interview, I hadn't even planned on talking about that very much, but it is really something to behold, and speaks real highly of, you know, Blizzard's dedication to lore and characters and sort of epicness and relationships and all of that stuff. So, you know, to make Reaper a sympathetic character simply by showing a skin seems like no small feat to me.
Well, I don't know if I'd go sympathetic for Reaper. It is interesting, though. You know, one of the reasons that we sort of went down this direction is because we were thinking about, how do you tell a story in a game like Overwatch where there is no traditional narrative, right? So
right.
It's we've got to do it in dialogue that you're frankly going to hear thousands and thousands of times, you know, through the course of playing different games, maps that you're going to be going through over and over again. And we sort of identified this as a way that we thought we could get this story across. And one thing I will also mention is that there are some pretty rare lines that I've snuck in there here and there. So there may still be some other story things lurking in the game.
Ooh, I'm excited. So every character in the game, one of the great strengths of the game is every character feels totally different, yet all competitive in their own way, supportive in their own way, or whatever. And that's feels like a rare thing to see in a game with this much diversity. But then it got me to thinking how hard it must be to make a new one. So when you guys are presented with the idea of making new heroes, and I'm sure there's many on the cutting room floor and 1,000 sketchbooks with 1,000,000 ideas, but how do you even start to make a character so that you're not just making another Soldier 76 or something that's sort of like D.Va or whatever? That seems like a challenge.
The ideas for the heroes actually come from a lot of different places on the team. The way that a lot of these heroes have come to life are just through different ideas from different groups of people on the team. And I think that the way that I usually think about it, there's primarily three different ways that we come up with these characters. The first one is, you know, our supremely talented assistant art director Arnold saying, we'll just draw this picture and we'll see this character, and we have to put him or her into the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to see it come to life. And then we talk about, you know, oh, what kind of abilities could this character have, what's the backstory, all driven by this really iconic design. The other avenue that characters come up through is oftentimes we'll look at the gameplay and how the game is going. We obviously did this a lot in the run-up to our cast of 21 characters. And if there's a particular gameplay niche or a role or something that we want to fill, then we'll kind of invent a character with a certain set of gameplay parameters. Or honestly, if there's just a certain type of gameplay that we want to get in, we'll figure out some of the other things. And then the third route that characters come to life is a story-based thing. And a good example of that, I would say, is actually Soldier 76. He existed for us as this idea, as the leader of Overwatch, Jack Morrison, and we wanted to explore this story. And at the same time, he also filled this gameplay need that we had. We wanted to have a character that was more accessible, more approachable, you know, a pretty accurate rifle, some healing and a sprint ability, something for people who are jumping into the game. And so for that character, these sort of three ideas all came together, and that's how he came to life.
I know there were some people initially worried that, Soldier 76, he's going to be the noob character. And I guess in a way he is. He's meant for, you know, those to make the game a little more approachable if they're not used to this sort of game or these kinds of classes or you know, jump. You can't jump right to Reinhardt or straight to, one of the stranger healers or support members because you're just like, what in the heck is this guy even doing at first? So I totally get his role in that. But you guys have also succeeded in fleshing him out as such an important part of the construct of the world, of the characters of Overwatch itself. That seems like a really cool thing to be able to pull off. And then I thought, well, they kind of do it with Hearthstone with Jaina. She seems like your tutorial character, but you know what? Mage is pretty good on her own. And same with Uther and same with Raynor in Heroes or any other Blizzard game. And there's something about that I really like, because you've got the accessibility, but also you immediately, it's like Soldier 76 yanks you into that story in a way that some of the other characters can't, or at least can't without his help.
Yeah, I think one of the things when we're creating a new character, we like to think of them as, you know, what if they were the hero of their own game? Like, we want them to have, you know, abilities that are feel unique and powerful and defining enough that really separate them. We want them to have a story which, you know, they are approaching. Like, I always think about, like, what kind of threat can this character go up against? And a lot of cases, these things, you know, will go together or they'll fit into the greater whole. But sometimes it's just finding a part of the universe, carving out a slice that works for that character and is something that'll be interesting to explore in the future.
All signs point to this game fitting nicely into Blizzard's esports efforts. And that's very exciting to most of us, at least from the outside. Is there anything you can tell us about the future of pro competition with this game?
So I don't really have anything in particular. Obviously, Blizzard is hugely interested in esports, and I think it would be amazing if Overwatch could follow suit, but specifically, I'm not really sure.
Well, it seems like a strong contender, and I'm really excited to see how that all plays out. I'm guessing we'll see a lot more at BlizzCon. Is there a challenge in the development process of this game that jumps out at you as the most challenging, like the thing that was the hardest to overcome or to surmount so that the game would move from great idea to, you know, this is really fun and we have to make this, you know, to the end sort of moment?
So speaking for myself, I think actually one of the biggest challenges was also one of the coolest parts of the game for me. And that was just the setting of Overwatch being in our world. Obviously, it's something different for us. When we set out, we wanted to have a game that was really diverse and had all these real world locations and really reflected Earth and enabled us to take a lot of inspiration from our world. But there's obviously a lot of challenges with that. Making sure, you know, doing a lot of research to try and get things right. A good example is one thing we did early on with all the maps is that we don't localize the text like that are on signs and stuff. So in the Russian map, you'll see all the signs are in Russian. We wanted to have characters that speak the different languages. And obviously, I'm not fluent in every language that's spoken on Earth. So it's involved like a lot of collaboration with our global teams and just a lot of research. And I think, you know, that's been really challenging, but it's also been really fun because it's we see the world around us and the way that we talk about Overwatch, it's like the future worth fighting for, or like an optimistic future that we want to live in. And bringing that to life has been both really fun and amazing to see happen, but also hasn't been without its challenges.
Well, that definitely answers another question I had about the overall sense of optimism that comes out of the game. And part of that is maybe in pop culture, we've spent a lot of time with anti-heroes and very conflicted protagonists that we maybe root for, but we aren't necessarily, you know, we don't look at them in the way that we looked at Superman or Captain America when we were kids or something. The game seems very focused on trying to build a world and its conflicts in a much more, I hate to use the word black and white, but a black and white sense that we know who's up to no good and we know who isn't. And there's still complexity there, but there's kind of an overt goodness to the Overwatch heroes and a, for lack of a better term, a pure badness to the ones who aren't. And it's really refreshing, you know, given, I think, what the last decade or so was, which was a lot more of a cynical view of heroism. Is that am I reading too much into that, or is that a feeling that's you guys have had from, you know, kind of a tone perspective?
I don't think so. I feel like that's always been where we've been going with Overwatch. You know, one of the core pillars of the game was that one of the things that excited us the most is these 21 heroes. We wanted this to be a game about heroes. And when you think about heroes and heroism, what we wanted to capture was that sort of, you know, doing good and being larger than life. And I think everything flowed out of that. Our characters sort of embody that. And then we apply that same idea to the world. And I think it was just something we were really interested in. You know, you've mentioned that in kind of fiction in general, there's been, we had this period where there were a lot of dystopias and dark futures. And I think we just, there was something about optimistic future that really spoke to us, seeing these places that were familiar to us, but seeing them, you know, with the amazing, you know, tech pyramids or where, you know, where things went right instead of went wrong for a change.
Yeah, that is, it's a nice, it's for me, it's refreshing. I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older, I got kids, and there's something about it that, I don't know, that's a little more hopeful and a little less gray. So that's something I appreciate. And in some ways, Overwatch seems to be heralding in a new wave of shooter. We've spent a lot of time in more realistic settings, a lot of military based stuff. And here comes Overwatch saying, let's get back to some of the speed and the fantasy and the science fiction of a shooter, letting you do things that you don't normally get to do. I want to talk about reloading, but I'll ask you that in a second. But when you guys started on this, did you know, or maybe you guys are driving this entirely, but did you know that gaming audiences would be hungry again for, you know, laser guns and concussion grenades and, you know, kind of some of the more fantastic elements of Overwatch?
Well, I don't know if we're prognosticators at that level, but, you know, I think maybe it's just something in entertainment. You know, these things are always cyclical in how they go, and maybe it's just it's kind of what people are interested in. I know that it spoke to us creatively, and it was definitely the direction we wanted to go, and so it's been nice to see a lot of entertainment with this perspective.
Now, I want to ask briefly before we get to kind of our final question, and that is about reloading. So this is a very interesting thing in the game that I want to address. Most shooter games I've ever played, reloading's a thing, and it's a strategic thing. You want to be well-timed when you reload. You need to consider what you're doing in reload. Some games more punishing than others, but always there's ammo involved, usually when there is a reload mechanic. And the Overwatch team, to your great credit, in my opinion, decided to make it so reloading your gun is still a thing that matters. It matters in the heat of gameplay. It matters when you do it. You should be prepared all the time to be fully loaded or know when best to reload. I mean, it obviously plays a role in the game, but everybody's got unlimited ammo. Was there a day or a time or a person who just one day in a meeting said, guys, no ammo? Look how much more fun this is, and we still get to keep the part that made that fun. Was that a thing ever? Because I can't get it out of my head, and I need some closure on that whole thing.
You know, I wish I knew the answer to this question. When I joined the team, it was already in the state that it is now. I could only guess that it was probably something like, you know, when we're looking at systems at Blizzard from a design perspective, we want to capture the essence of it. And I think what is the essence of fun about reloading, right, is managing, or quote-unquote fun of reloading, right, but is managing sort of your situation in the heat of combat more than running around and picking up the armor packs. But yeah, I don't know the real story there. I wish I did.
Well, it feels consistent with what Blizzard does with other games, and it seems like a smart move. It's really changed the way I think about shooters, and I love it. So don't pull it out, I guess is all I'm saying. How do you guys, just to kind of sew things up here, how do you and others on the team stop yourselves from playing the game all the time and not getting any work done?
It's hard. We play the game a lot on the Overwatch team, and it's fun. We like to jump into games together and see how things are going.
Do you have a favorite character in the roster? Somebody you always kind of as your go-to?
It's funny, earlier you mentioned about not suggesting people maybe jump in on Reinhardt. I actually play Reinhardt quite a bit because the other designers on the team who I usually play with are like quite a bit better at the game than me, and I always feel like I can safely equip myself with Reinhardt. I just put the shield up, walk in the direction, and then when the shield goes down, then I get to enjoy myself, swing my hammer, and try and kill some people.
Well, may we all appreciate our Reinhardts, because I have better games when they're there, and a healer doesn't hurt either. We love the game. It's fantastic. Really thankful to be able to chat with you about it, and best of luck in the next month or so. I know you guys are in crunch time, but could not be more excited about the release.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.